If you missed the show, check out the podcast.
The Vinny and Nikki Replay.
Subscribe now on iTunes, Google Play, or online at thebeat925.ca.
You probably do this in front of your kids. You probably feel bad about it. There's one scientist now stepping up and saying, it's okay. It's all good. Don't worry about it. I want to know if you agree or not. It's Vinny, Nikki, and Sam. We're talking about swearing around kids. And I don't know if you choose to do it. I guess you figure maybe, you know what, I'll just do it and it doesn't matter. Or you're really, really careful. Well, there's this cognitive scientist. He's the author of What the F, What Swearing Reveals About Our Language, Our Brains, and Ourselves. He found that while verbal abuse can be harmful, of course, casual swearing around kids doesn't have any impact on their well-being or emotional development. We're talking about like if you stub your toe, if the Canadians give up a really, really bad goal and you start, you know, you throw out an expletive and you're really, really angry about that. He goes on to say the use of fleeting expletives doesn't have any impact at all on their well-being, on their socialization, as far as we can tell. Does that sound surprising to you? You can text us this morning at 9925.
I mean, my mom swore all the time and I'm such a well-rounded individual. I knew that it wasn't harmful. That being said, I don't want my child getting in trouble at school for swearing. Yeah. So I don't want that phone call from the teacher. So I think I will definitely be careful around my children. But with my godson, I swear around him and his parents are always like, shh, like he's getting that age. You're going to have to be careful. But I want to continue because I want to be the cool aunt.
You want to be the cool aunt.
I know you have to. I know you. Yes. I'm like, I know you have to be careful around him, but I want him to view me as like just a little bit more fun and loose than he views you.
Yeah, so. See, I can't do that as a father because she'll never think I'm cool, right?
No, she won't.
I feel like I'm going to start out being careful and then I'm just going to give up because I know my wife's going to be like, no, we can never swear around her when she starts growing up. I'm like, but is that realistic though? Like she's going to go out in the real world and, you know, as long as she understands when it's appropriate to do so and not appropriate to do so.
I'm relieved to hear about this study because I actually had my girlfriend's nephews over the weekend, and because I don't have kids, I don't have a filter around kids, and I forget that they're in the room.
Yeah.
And I must have, like, I don't mean to, but I must have swore a good 5-6 times and audibly. And as soon as I did, I would like catch myself and the person I was talking to, who was the father, he just pretended like nothing happened. I think that's the best way to treat it. You don't bring any attention to it. You don't make it seem like you just said a word you're not supposed to. You just roll right over it. But I'm always apprehensive because growing up, we were in a no-cuss household. No one cussed. No one. It was forbidden. Even today when I go to my parents' house, if I say anything, they go, stop swearing. You don't have to swear. It doesn't make you sound smart.
I remember when I swore when I was a kid, my mom washed my mouth out with soap. But I have the visual memory of me in the bathroom with a bar of soap in my mouth.
You're doing it the wrong way. My mom swore, and because I never thought my mom was cool at all until I was at least like 23 years old, I'm sure. I never swore because I was like, she's not cool. That can't be a cool thing to do. It's like reverse psychology.
Interesting.
Yeah, reverse.
All right. Do you agree with this or not? Do you think it's okay to swear in front of kids? You can text us this morning, 9925. Kim, you have an 8-year-old. What do you think about this?
I swear in front of her all the time. Okay. Yeah. Well, I've actually gotten better over the years because she calls me out on it now.
Okay. Have you ever done a swear jar?
For myself?
Yeah, she gets money every time you swear.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's Shayla. Shayla, you heard it here. You heard it from Auntie Nikki.
She's very opportunistic.
Does she swear at you though? That's
no,
the thing.
No, okay. I've always told her when she learns when it's appropriate to use the language, then she is by all means permitted to use it.
When
in
you're
other
an adult.
Words, not in front of mama.
Yeah.
Let us remember this is also an Irish household. So a little bit of swearing is also forgiven.
That's a good point.
This text says, I feel it's a sign of lower class to swear. No.
No, we all do it.
It said if you stub your toe, it's fine, but otherwise you should refrain from making it seem normal to use bad language in normal conversation for F's sake, they said.
Yeah, no, I love it. All right, Peggy, so you don't have an issue with this, right?
Not at all. We found that when we did censor ourselves, whenever someone would say the word, the kids would be like, oh my gosh, mom, they swore. And it was such a big deal. And I was like, you know what? They're going to hear it at school. And if we let ourselves loose at home, it's our expressions, it's our emotions, it's our punctuation. And they understand that it's not necessarily a bad thing because you just release it. Whether you stub your toe, it's like, ouch, it's just a different way of doing it, or you're angry, or you're frustrated. It's an extra expression for them to learn.
Plus,
not that they use it, but at least it desensitizes them when they hear it at school.
Life is so much more colorful that way, too. Right?
That's true.
It is.
So much more fun, let's be honest. But Peggy, did you find it hard starting out when the kids were really, really young?
I found it hard to censor myself, really, and finding words that were as satisfactory, you know, to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shoot, I mean, just doesn't cut it, right?
Plus, let's not forget forget that kids...
Like, sugar. It doesn't work.
And kids know when something is up. You know, like when parents go, no, don't say that. Like, kids see that happening, you know? And they're going to know something is sketchy and you're talking under your breath. That's and they're going to be more curious about it.
Exactly. And the thing is, we have a policy at home to be honest and open. And if you're frustrated, you're allowed to vent and yell and scream and whatever. You're not allowed to swear at people in our house.
The people you least expect, eh?
Yeah.
The dirtiest mouths.
that's a good rule if you are open. And, like, no judgment either way, however exactly. You choose to do it. But if you are open, I like that rule. Like, you don't swear at people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to work on that.
But you're the cool Aunt Nicole, right? Come on. They almost expect it from you.
You maintain a reputation.
This is the Vinny and Nikki replay.
All right, is this the hardest song in the world to sing? And you can try singing along with it.
Are you going to try too, Nikki?
No, I won't. I'm going to spare you, okay?
We all know she can sing.
Jimmy Fallon was talking about this. Yeah. He's talking about Kelly Clarkson's biggest hit.
Since you've been gone.
He said, you know, since you've been gone, it's one of those songs that seems like a really great idea to sing at karaoke. And then when you try doing it, you can't even come close to sounding even reasonable. He said this song may be impossible to sing along to.
Okay. I don't really believe that, but
you
okay.
don't believe it's impossible?
No.
Well, he got together a bunch of some artists, some celebrities, Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, yeah, Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaq?
Yeah, I can sing really good. Here we go.
John Oliver.
Really?
Mumford and Sons.
Okay.
Megan Trainor, Anthony Anderson, and The Roots, and said, like, give it a shot. Let's hear how you do. And it was disastrous.
Here's the thing. We started out.
That's
friends.
Kelly, okay?
It was cool, but it was all pretend.
Yeah, yeah. Since you've been gone.
Gotta love Shaq. The highest he can go.
You took the time.
That's Jimmy.
Long till I called you mine.
Yes, yes. Since you've been gone.
John Oliver.
Pretty funny.
Can't even shake the accent.
Megan Trainor, she's the only good one.
Yeah. She nails it, yeah.
Ow, my ears.
Stop it.
For the first time, I'm coming on.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Now I get what I want. Since you've been gone.
Oh, God.
I mean, a lot of tough notes,
it
though.
It kills me. There are a lot of
song.
Really tough notes.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't expect them to be that bad. It's, I mean.
Oh, you think you can do it?
Well, I can't sing like Kelly Clarkson,
go.
But it's
let's
like,
go. No,
are you serious?
Let's hear you, Sam.
Since
kill
you've
this
been
song.
Gone, I can't breathe for the first time.
Not bad.
Bad.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that good. It's not that good.
It's not good. What I want. I'm just getting warmed up here.
But why are you rushing it? Why are you rushing it?
Because he's embarrassed.
Because I'm a little embarrassed. But you have to admit, it did better than half the people that were on that thing.
It was maybe. Segment. It was better than Shaq.
The Vinny and Nikki Replay Podcast.
Hey, good morning. Not going to believe how much the city spent on a tourism video to attract visitors to our city. And then if you see the video or if you already have seen it, you're going to be even more shocked because it does not look like it deserves that price tag at all. It's Vinny, Nikki, and Sam, Tourism Montreal. They put together this video. A lot of Montrealers are talking about it. It's called Reviens-moi, or Come Back to Me in English. It's a local singer. His name's Mathieu Samson. It's really corny. It's supposed to promote our city and get people to come here and visit our city. And it's basically him superimposed on some of our landmarks in Montreal. Notre Dame Basilica, the Montreal Observational Wheel, the Olympic Stadium. At one point, even flies over Montreal. And you see, like, sprinkling fairy dust. And people are calling it, like, super, super corny. The price tag for this, Valerie Prahn approved it, $400,000.
She approved it before she saw it, to be fair.
Maybe she should have saw it first.
Yeah.
Here's a clip of Reviens-moi. You can check this out online. Here's
beautiful. And he doesn't say Montreal once.
He doesn't.
In the entire thing.
Really? I didn't even catch that.
He's like, Quebec, my beautiful province. Will you come back to me one day? Let's meet and be crazy. My beautiful Quebec, come back to me. Never mentions Montreal. Apparently, they made this in the first place because they said that 40% of the tourism in Montreal comes from other parts of Quebec. Because I was kind of like, wouldn't you maybe want to do that in English for tourists to come?
But I
didn't realize
that.
That's a good, not most of our tourists, but that's a good chunk of our tourists.
And the artist, he said his theme is, it's like we're saying we've changed, come back. That was the whole point of this video. Valerie Plante then said she saw the video and like everybody else, she was like, oh, that's interesting. That's kind of different from what we've been used to. And at the same time, I mean, I totally trust Tourism Montreal with doing ads that people will talk about. And definitely that's the case. People are talking about that ad.
Yeah, she said they were doing some sort of like marketing viral thing where it was meant to be cheesy and that was going to get people talking about it, I guess. But they spoke with someone who teaches marketing at McGill University. And she said, first of all, it's tacky. And she said, secondly, the graphics, she said she has students who can do better graphics and consistently do better work.
It looks like a video from like the 80s. Like if you go watch a Peter Gabriel video, type in Sledgehammer on YouTube, it's like the same effect.
The city does look cool though.
I guess.
You know, like
the whole thing's also shot at night too. You don't see any day shots.
I just expected
lots of
something.
It looks like a fun city. Like even you don't want that guy. That guy does not look cool, but it looks like kind of a cool city, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I can only imagine some kind of drug would make you feel the way this video makes you feel when you watch it.
I'm reading the comments on YouTube. They're pretty funny. Somebody said, look, that's what happens when you go ahead and legalize marijuana. Somebody said, this is a great tourism video if you want to visit Toronto, make you want to leave our city. I'm like, that's rough, man. And you can check it out online. It's called Reviens-moi.
We can post it on our Facebook page
so
that you can check it out. I just want to say I don't know who the guy who stars in the video is, but I fear he'll ever get a job. He will never get a job again.
Well, he's rich now. $400,000.
That's not bad, right?
That went to like people who made the graphic. To everybody.
It was terrible graphic work. Terrible green screen work. Just to give you an idea, they shot all of Napoleon Dynamite on that same budget of $400,000.
Wow.
Okay.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. So
and that was a masterpiece.
I'm speechless. $400,000. They could have done it for $4,000. It just
that's
Montreal.
That's our tax money, by the way. Just so you
of
know.
Of course.
Just want to put that up there.
Keeping local artists employed.
It's sad to think about what we could have done with that money.
We will not be playing that song, by the way, here on the Beat 92.5. They spent
most of their budget on the drugs they took while they were making the video.
The best of the day on the Vinny and Nikki replay.
Subscribe now on iTunes, Google Play, or online at thebeat925.ca.
So Lindsay Lohan has a new TV show, and I watched it yesterday for research purposes.
Of course, Nikki.
It's so bad.
How long did you last?
15 minutes. It's called Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club on MTV. It's so bad. She's opening up a beach club in Mykonos, and she's bringing all of these like nightclub workers from the U.S. over to work for her, and they're following it around like it's a reality show. It's kind of like passé. Like this, I feel like this has been done.
It's been done, yeah.
Yeah, and they're really trying to paint Lindsay in the light of not being the train wreck. Like, she's the one who's like, you know, my name is on this business. I'm running a tight ship.
She's
and I will fire you. Yeah, she's a boss. It's so bad. But it's funny because I was reminded last night how Lindsay Lohan has an accent that changes every other week or so.
Yeah,
right?
It's true. She and Madonna.
Madonna, too, has been over the years.
Yeah.
It's happened a lot.
Transient accents.
Always talking in a different accent. She was asked about it, and she said it's just because she's lived in so many different places. She's lived in Greece. She's lived in Dubai. She's lived in the U.S. She grew up speaking Italian as well. So she said she just...
She did?
Yeah, she did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So her parents say she has a very high IQ and she's a genius and she can pick up languages like in a second.
Anyone else but her parents say that?
No. Just her parents. Just her parents. But it got me thinking about people who take on accents around them. I think she puts it on a little bit. She does. But have you ever been around somebody and somebody comes into the group who may have an accent and suddenly one of your friends is speaking kind of like them? Or have you ever noticed yourself doing that?
I can see Sam doing that
for some reason. I'm so guilty of that.
Of course you are.
I've gotten better over the years, but there was a time when I would just pick up on people's energies and I would just feel like I was doing them a service by speaking to them the same way that they were speaking to me. And it's the same thing with French. Like when I speak French, it depends on who I'm speaking with. If I'm speaking with a Quebecois, all of a sudden my accent turns more Quebecois, really? As opposed to some of my family where it turns more Parisian. Like,
I found I did it a little bit when I was younger, and this was just for me personally, but was more insecure. So I think I thought people were cool, yeah. And so that maybe if I was like more like them, I would be cool. So
which
I
is
found
the opposite of cool.
Yes, exactly. But I found myself always trying to find like the best parts of other mm-hmm. people, and like maybe if I can be like that.
I turn on the Italian when we talk to
right?
Yeah, Italians
in the East End. Even when they call us.
You've called me out on it, and I didn't realize it until afterwards. I'm like, oh my God, you're right. It's subconscious. Like, I had no idea.
Well, as humans, it's like we have this innate urge to empathize and affiliate with people around us, okay? We're like incessant imitators. So we're doing it in a million different ways, even if we don't realize it. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not the type of person who goes as far as imitating someone's foreign accent, we imitate mannerisms, postures, facial expressions, speech patterns, even talking speed, speaking time, our inflections, and then of course sometimes even a foreign accent, which is the most embarrassing one because you end up feeling like an idiot when somebody realizes, right?
I know. I mean, I'm thinking like when I was traveling in Asia, for instance, like and people's first language isn't English. All of a sudden, you're trying to not stoop down to their level, but to try to communicate with them in a way that they would understand. So I'm like, this one, how much?
Right.
And so you're. Like and I'm catching myself. I'm like, why am I doing this? Like you're making a fool of yourself. But I do remember that I caught myself
kind of
for the first time when I did catch myself doing this. I spent a week in the States and I was hanging around a bunch of farmers from I don't know like the Midwest or whatever.
Oh no!
And I was like, wow, I really like this accent. So I called my parents and I was like, and I left them a message and it sounded like. Hey, Mom, Dad, how's it going? Yeah, just, you know, down here in the States, yeah, having a real good time. And I got off the phone. I'm like, what am I doing with myself? That is not me.
I can see you doing that, too.
But it felt so natural at the time. I was like, yeah, I guess I'm American from now on.
You know what's so embarrassing? I used to go to the Chinese restaurant with my father, and when he would order, he would try to talk in their accent.
Oh,
it was
really?
So embarrassing.
I know.
Because he thought that's what they understood.
Yeah. Oh, like, my God. Stop, that's hilarious.
Just shut up and point to the menu.
I think I'm number four. I'm like, no, Dad, what are you doing? Don't do
they
that.
Speak English here. It's fine.
It's so embarrassing.
God.
All right. By the way, when is that show on, the Lindsay Lohan?
I don't know. I don't suggest anybody watch it.
No, just for a few minutes. No, just to see the train wreck.
I won't even tell you.
Okay.
I won't.
The Vinny and Nikki Replay.
Subscribe now on iTunes and Google Play.
And listen to Vinny and Nikki in the morning, weekdays starting at 5:30
on Montreal's Perfect Mix, The Beat 92.5.